333 South Chestnut Street. Here at Trinity UMC, we strive to be Christ's hands, feet, and heart in our community. We also invite you to join us Sunday mornings for worship service at 10 a.m. You can also watch our worship service and Spirit 23 devotions on YouTube. If you enjoy our radio ministry and would like to further the building of this kingdom, you can visit our website at www.dev.tumcseymour.org. I guess we'll go to scripture.
Yes.
Okay. If you'd like to join us in your pew Bible, it's on Luke chapter 2, verses 25 to 35. I do not have a page number. Okay. Now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon, who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was on him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. When the parents brought in the child, Jesus, to do for him what the custom of the law required, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, "Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all nations, a light for which revelation is to the Gentiles and to the glory of your people Israel." The child's father and mother marveled at what was said about him. Then Simeon blessed him and said to Mary, his mother, "This child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and the sword will pierce your own soul too." Bless this reading.
Amen. Simeon was so very blessed. You have to remember, in biblical times, the average lifespan was something like 40, 50 at the very most. Simeon lived to be 80 years old because our God promised him that he would see the hope of salvation. And Simeon held on to that. We have no idea how old Simeon was when he was given that process. He could have been a young person, and he could have been a bit older, but he held on. You know, young children sing before they talk. They make little sounds mimicking us, and they tend to sing before they can even talk. When they get to the toddler stage, they sometimes sing without benefit of a tune or even words. I can remember my granddaughter, she'd be singing to Jesus sitting in the bathroom, and her mom would be calling me going, "Do you think she's really talking to Jesus?" I said, "I do believe she is." She said, "She stays real quiet, like she's listening for an answer." And I said, "Jessica, what makes you think that Kendra can't be talking to Jesus?" Jesus always said, "Let the little children come to me." And then he tells the rest of us, "May your faith be like that of a child's." Back to Simeon. An old man promised to see the birth of the Messiah, the promised one, the anointed one. And when Mary and Joseph walked into the temple to have their newborn son dedicated to our Lord, holding the babe in arms, immediately Simeon's heart skipped a beat. He knew who that baby was without ever having been introduced to his parents. He came directly to them and he let out a glorious cry. "I can die." Kind of strange. I'm sure that Mary and Joseph worried about that just a little bit because he was pretty old and frail. They thought, well, hopefully not right here, right now, but he had seen what was promised to him and he was ready to go on to heaven. Marvel then that that this old man left us with one of the loveliest songs of Christmas all throughout Advent and through to Christmas Eve. Our topic has been music. We have sermons about music. We have Christmas carols. On Christmas Eve, we will be having solos and we will be having Georgie play for us. And it is a music themed Advent. This particular song is one that we might not be as familiar with, but the Catholics pray it weekly in their evening office. This is a song that was born purely from the joy in Simeon's heart that God had granted him, an old man, a nothing, the promise of knowing and seeing the Messiah before he went on. In a sense, we know little more about Simeon. We don't know his ancestry. We don't know what he did for a living. We don't know anything else about him, but he had incredible, incredible faith. The Holy Spirit had moved upon him and given him a promise that he would see the joy of the world, the light of the world, the promised one to come. I like this man. I like him a lot because he had the faith to wait, to count on God's promises. I don't know about y'all, but have you ever known that God promised you something? And in the waiting, you do a little turnaround. You start saying to yourself, maybe I heard that wrong. Maybe that wasn't God. Maybe that was something else. Maybe he didn't mean me. And we start doubting what God said to us. Simeon never doubted once. He held tight to the promise that God had given him. He was, in the truest sense of the word, living on borrowed time. By all odds, his life should have been over, but God had granted him special reprieve, promising that he would not see death before he saw the blessed Messiah. Luke 2:26. He would be privileged to live until his great dream had been fulfilled. Many, many people cherish a dream being fulfilled. How many of you cherish the dream of burning your mortgage? How many of you cherish the dream of getting a new vehicle? How about getting married? Anybody looking forward to getting married? Not so much, huh? Okay. Oh, okay. All right. I see. The guys have one opinion. I'm guessing the girls have another opinion. We look forward to cherished dreams, but we lose sight of them in the waiting. Did you know that's what Advent means? To wait. To wait in renewal, to remember the birth of the Christ child anew. It is still every bit as much of a miracle. And then the second part of Advent is focused on us waiting not for the babe, but for the return of Christ coming in the east to collect all of his beloved and to take them home. We don't see all of the details of Simeon's expectation, but we can imagine that there were long, hard days in between when God told him and when it materialized. We don't really know how long he lived with this promise. Did he begin each day by asking God, Lord, Lord, is this the day that I will see the promise of salvation? Did he sometimes complain? All right, God, I've waited long enough. Do you ever do that? Do you complain to God? I know I have a tendency. I can drive down the road and be talking. Did you go on vacation, God? We are to give thanks in all times, even during trials, for this shapes our character. That one I've been known to say, all right, I got enough character, God. But it does shape our character. Perhaps it's useless to speculate how Simeon waited. What I know is how we wait is largely dependent upon our faith and our trust in God. Have you waited for someone to be healed? Have you been waited for something that you have longed for? And how do you wait? Do you grumble? Do you begin to doubt yourself? Or do you say, I believe, help my disbelief, hold my hand and get me through this, God? When we do the latter, we are beyond blessed with joy and peace and comfort. Lord, now lettest thou servant depart in peace, according to thy word, for my eyes have seen thy salvation. We don't even know that he knew that the salvation was coming in the form of a child. We just know that he was promised that he would see salvation before he died. Now lettest thou servant depart in peace, according to thy word, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast preparest before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles, and the glory of thy people Israel. Isn't that a beautiful sentiment? I can die now. I have been given what you have promised. My heart is full. I trusted and I faith and I received. This is a song that has been given. We call it Nunc Dimittis, from the first two words in the Latin version. Many churches sing it as a benediction, either after Sunday worship or during evening prayers. Perhaps there could be no more fitting blessing at the close of a day than now let thy servant depart. I have seen all that I need to see. I am filled to the fullest with joy. For beloved, that is the only thing any of us really need. We don't need riches. Yes, it is wonderful that we have warm houses and enough food to eat. But the only thing we really need is the joy of the Lord. And don't get lost here, beloved. Joy does not equate with happiness. Joy can come at times of deep strife, at times of deep grief. For the joy of the Lord is the faith and the belief in the Lord and knowing he's going to see you through it. It doesn't mean you're going to be giddy with happiness. It simply means that you trust in the Lord, that you know better days are coming, that you know the joy of your salvation, Jesus Christ, will come to claim you. But what had Simeon really seen? A baby, just a baby, Simeon. Did you take one look at that baby and surmise that this was the joy of your salvation? It's a baby. How many babies have walked into that temple before? But his heart skipped a beat, and he knew, because he knew, this in front of him was the promise of the Lord. Do you know, because you know in the depth of your being, that the promise of the Lord is Jesus Christ, and that if you offer yourself to him, you shall have eternal life. He didn't say life would be easy. There's still going to be life on life's terms. There's still going to be cancer. There's still going to be death. There's still going to be grief. There's still going to be bills. There's still going to be all kinds of things. But we have the promise that our Lord will walk with us through all of this. He has promised us never to leave us, never to forsake us, to walk us through each and every trial that we have in this lifetime. Simeon's song is notable in yet another way. With his faith, there is also love, particularly the kind of love that we might call the breath of the Spirit. I can't wait to hear Georgie sing Breath of Heaven. The gospel story tells us that Simeon has been waiting, like Tom read, for the consolation of Israel. Yet when Simeon took that baby in his arms, his vision became all-consuming, all-encompassing. He thanked God for salvation, and he thanked God for the joy, the light, and the salvation of the world. And then the Holy Spirit came upon him again, and he stood before the young mother, acknowledging that she had given birth to the Messiah, that she was indeed favored among all women. I can just picture him taking her hand and holding it and saying, "But your heart, your soul will be pierced as well." And I don't know about all of you, but I can't imagine standing at the foot of that cross and watching my son die in such a horrible way due to the people that he had come to save. She followed him around. Remember that, beloved, when the disciples did not have the courage and the faith to follow him around. She followed him. She watched him be beaten. She watched him be spat on. She watched him covered in blood trying to carry that cross. And then she stood at the foot of the cross to give him strength. She stood and she looked him in the face, the piercing of her heart and her soul, which Simeon predicted. It is quite proper to respect the beliefs of all persons, to protect their right to hold their respective beliefs. I'm sure I've told you guys when we went through confirmation class that we listen and we respect the beliefs of the Buddhist, of the Islams, of the Jewish, of all the other faiths. Does that mean that we turn and begin to follow them? No, no. We know the faith that we are born into. We know the faith that we were born to articulate. We know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, and we are called to follow him. We're respectful of what other people believe, but we hold true to our own beliefs. And that holding true makes a huge difference in who you are and how others see you. People may make fun of you occasionally in school for your beliefs, but you know what? Deep down, they respect you because you have the courage to hold to your faith. Quiet now. An old man is singing, and when you reach 80 plus, your voice doesn't quite hold the tune that it used to hold. You young men know this. You grown men know this. There's a time period where your voice cracks and shakes as you grow into a man. And then there's a time period when you get older where your voice again trembles. But with all the faith that he could muster, he sang. His age is such that he should have died many years ago, but he wanted desperately to live long enough to see salvation. And into the temple, a warmth in his heart burst forward as Joseph and Mary came in. In faith, he sings, "Now I can die, for I have seen God's salvation. I can see the people around him, especially those that he had told previously that God granted him a longer life to see the salvation. I can see them saying, 'Simeon, it's just a baby.'" Nobody expected our Lord and Savior to come as an infant. They expected an all-wise, all-powerful, all-rich ruler. But our God gave us a vulnerable infant that he might grow up and feel everything that we have ever felt, so that when we are hurting, we can reach to Jesus and be assured that he understands how we feel.
Hope of all.